Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm going to talk about today how we find deals, but not necessarily how we find deals, but secret strategies of how we find deals. And these are strategies that I don't hear a lot of people talk about, but I see a lot of people take advantage of them. And I want to show you some examples, show you some data, and dive into the insights of how we came about these strategies, and to really help you think outside the box when you're looking for particular opportunities in the market. So let's dive into it. All right. So strategy number one. Now, first, when we do these strategies, when we find strategies, deal finding strategies vary market to market. Okay. Meaning like certain things that work in certain markets don't work in other markets. Right. So for example, you know, I like to use this, you know, extreme example, but you know, if I buy a property that's a mile away from the beach in a beach market, and I throw in a ton of amenities and really nice design decor, and I like pimp out the property and make it look super cool, I can't expect it to make the same revenue as the properties on the beach. I think I talked about that in the last episode or something before. Okay. Don't really need to discuss further on that. We get that concept, right? But if I do the same thing in another market where location maybe isn't as important or the quote unquote priority, then that doesn't actually matter. Like in a sense that adding those amenities and adding that design decor might actually have a huge impact on the revenue and be that thing that makes that property an actual deal. Okay. And so if we can understand this concept, if you can grasp that concept, that means that certain finding strategies for deals varies market to market. We just got to know what they are, and then we got to figure out which works which markets. So the first thing I want to talk about is, before we go into the unique finding strategies out there that I personally use and kind of discovered, I want to show you how you can find those strategies, okay? So once again, if you're listening to this episode on Spotify or Apple, these are going to be posted on YouTube at SCR Insight. So go to the YouTube channel. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Please do that so we can grow that channel. But I'm going to show you some stuff there, and I'm going to talk about it, obviously, but go check out the video too, and this will help kind of illustrate what I am talking about. So what I want to show you guys are what I call buy boxes, okay? So buy boxes are essentially what works in the market. So I'm showing one of my spreadsheets of one of my clients, and we have gone through and we've created buy boxes in particular markets. So the buy boxes are based on the market revenue drivers of location, quality, design decor, and amenities, all right? When we look at creating buy boxes, what we're looking to do is we're looking at clusters or groups of data, i.e. trends or patterns in the data set that separate the high performers from everybody else. Why are these properties high performers and why are they doing what they're doing? What explains that revenue? So, and it's a super easy exercise because it's just like going in and looking at the patterns and trends in the data, meaning like, okay, I've isolated all of the top performers. Okay. What attributes do they have? Now, here's the thing. Top performers can vary. They can vary based on location, meaning that there could be certain neighborhoods or resort communities that have top performers and other resort communities that have, you know, equally top performers. And so we can isolate each of these neighborhoods and isolate for a location. That's exactly what we do when we create a buy box. It's the first thing we do. If you're looking on my spreadsheet, I've got the market name. And then the next column I have is the geographical area. And this is the most important thing, is understanding that geographical location should always be isolated first, because we don't know. We go to a market like a, let's say Asheville, North Carolina. Okay. And we go into Asheville and we assume, this is the problem, we assume things. We assume that it's a mountain market, therefore having views is the most important thing. When reality is, proximity to the city and the downtown area is equally or as more important than just having views. But if you don't know that and you just assume one thing, then you're going to miss opportunities in that market. And so it's the same concept for any other market. We can't go in assuming. So we have to study the buy boxes or the submarkets within to figure out what works. So we start with geographical location. And what I like to do is really narrow in on finding the top properties and where they're located. Now, in a market like Asheville, what you'll find is that there are top properties all across the entire market. So what does that mean? that means that location might not necessarily be as important, like specific geographical location, as what type of either quality, amenities, or furnishings that property has. Okay. So that's where we dive in deeper and look at the other elements. And you'll notice my buy box in the third column are the specific bedroom counts, because every single bedroom count has a unique buy box, because demand and supply varies by bedroom count. Meaning when I have a one bedroom, I'm attracting couples or single travelers, right? And they're going to want different things than say a group of 20 people or a group of 10 people or a small family. And the properties that are successful vary based off of the group size and the demand, like who is actually traveling there and what they want, right? So we never just create generic buy boxes for the entire market for all bedroom counts, because it does vary. And you'll find that, and that's where the opportunity lies. That's where 95% of investors stop, is they don't break it down by bedroom count. And that's what's going to put you ahead and help you find a cash flow positive property. So let's keep going through this thing. So we're going to look at, so we isolate for location. We're going to look at the specific bedroom counts. And then you'll notice here other columns like furnishing quality, interior quality, exterior quality, different amenities these properties have, picture quality, and any other factors. And so what you'll notice is that these properties, so we isolate 4 to 5 properties or more in a buy box. You have to have at least 4 or 5 because of patterns and trends. I can't stand it when people are like, well, I found this one really cool property and it has like an indoor pool, therefore like that's a buy box. It's like, maybe, but there's one property in this market that has a pool. Nobody else has it. So you're making an assumption, okay? You make assumptions when you only have 1 or 2 data points, which is what people do when they evaluate. They look at 1 or 2 comparable properties, and I'm probably talking to you listening to this. You've looked at 1 or 2 comparable properties at their revenue and said, these are quote unquote similar to mine, therefore I should make around this, which is really, really dangerous, okay? And the reason why is because you've made some assumptions. You haven't looked at the market research and the market data. Now, maybe you have, good for you, and you've learned, and you've spoken to me, and we've kind of gone through that process. But if you haven't, you need to sit down and understand the market revenue drivers and the buy boxes before you go in, because that's where you find opportunity, okay? And so, for example, like, let me pick one of these that's like a little more relevant. I've got some ski resorts, some beaches. So like, for example, we've got Pigeon Forge, which is in the Smokies, and the buy box there, the location is like in the downtown area of Pigeon Forge, which we know does really well. And then the type of amenities and the quality and these things like that, like how are all the top properties? What amenities do they have that are in common? You know, what's the interior quality, like the exterior quality? Like, we know that the Smokies is extremely competitive. So everything's going to be high end. That's why you see high here in the spreadsheet, right? And then in other markets, you're going to see things that are maybe a little bit lesser, medium, or what I call low, or just like, you know, grandma's closet. But the thing is, though, in these markets where you see these things where everything isn't high end, that's where the opportunity is, guys. But it's also telling you that that's maybe not the most important thing that drives revenue. Having all the amenities or having the design of the core, you know, the hundreds of thousands in design decor isn't what drives revenue. It's other things. So, but that varies market to market, right? And that's what we're trying to get at. So this is all like understanding this concept of buy boxes is how you figure out the right strategies for the deals you're looking for. Okay. So understand this and like use this for your gain, I guess, to figure out what the best deal strategies are. Okay, so now we've talked about buy boxes and you've got that. Now we need to move to the second step, which is actually understanding the deal finding strategies. So I guess I'll just do some example markets. I should have planned this one out better, but a couple deal finding strategies I like. Number one, one of the most uncommon talked about deal finding strategies out there is adding a bedroom count, which is sounds really cheesy almost, like, and kind of stupid, but like, when you increase the bedroom count, what is that? What's the cause and effect? You increase occupancy and the number of guests you can accommodate. Okay. Therefore, your revenue goes up. More heads in beds equals more revenue. That's proven just about everywhere. I used to not want to believe that until the data just kept saying it over and over and over. More heads in beds equals more revenue, especially when you get to that 4 to 5 range. If you can go from a 4-bedroom to a 5-bedroom in almost any market, the revenue jump is significant and it will make a big difference in that property. And so we can look for deals where they have bonus rooms or offices that aren't listed as quote unquote bedrooms and use those as bedrooms to increase the amount of guests that property can accommodate. And that increases revenue. Therefore, that the property might be undervalued in terms of what that revenue potential is. And therein lies the opportunity. So that's one way to do it. I know it sounds super cheesy, but like, seriously, like if there's a unfinished room above a garage that's attached, or I've seen that when we've had clients find those before, or like I said, the offices, or you know, you can even add a wall, like big lofts where you can close off sections and all this. Like I've seen people do that too. Like adding bedrooms is really not that hard to do. It's especially in the sense of an Airbnb. It doesn't need to be this, you know, full on master suite because people aren't living there. They're staying there, right? So it's about having a comfortable space, but and finding these properties that have that ability to add that space, that extra bedroom, huge, great strategy. Another strategy we found is, and I'm going to interview someone who's done this one and share their example and their experience with this one, is properties that are, I know this sounds super silly, but this is why people don't talk about this stuff. It's like, it's almost like sounds too good to be true, like too easy to be true, but it just works. So like finding large properties, and when I say large, I'm talking like 4,000 square feet plus, that were built like in the early 2000s that don't have like all this major like curb appeal, adding the right amenities, adding the right design decor, and make sure they can sleep like 16 plus people and watch the numbers crank out. So I've seen that work in a number of markets. And a crazy thing is the I don't want to ruin the part two episode, but basically, like I've seen this done a lot in Asheville, North Carolina, where, you know, everybody thinks you got to have mountain views or even proximity to Asheville. But with these big properties, okay, 4,000 square foot plus properties that sleep 16 plus people, people are staying there. And because the number of people, they're able to split the cost, therefore the revenue is just so much higher. But the properties aren't valued super high because they don't have the views, or they don't have the, you know, they're not like in those neighborhood sweet spots or whatever, and they're just overlooked. Okay. But these people came in and they proved that you can buy these type of large properties and do this. And I've seen that in Smokies. I've seen that in parts of Florida too. I've seen that in the Northeast. I've seen in Midwest, especially in the Midwest as well. That's sort of Michigan's been a big one for that too. And that sounds, like I said, it almost sounds too good to be true, but that's a strategy where you buy these huge, huge properties that can sleep a lot of people, host a lot of people for family reunions, family gatherings, maybe wedding parties, whatever it is. And boom, the revenue comes in, and we're talking 4,000 plus 5,000, 6,000 square foot homes. Okay. So that's a big one. And they're not necessarily at the major market traffic drivers, but if you can find one that is, that's usually a sweet property, lots of potential. So talked about bedroom counts. We talked about space, finding properties with lots of square footage. The next one too, that's like I said, a lot of these are like kind of simple and dumb, I feel like, but I just get overlooked. So new construction. So I'm not talking about go and build your own property to find a deal, but find properties that are already under, like that are already being constructed, that are near completion, that are being done by the builder and sold by the builder. And you can negotiate more with the builder. You can add things to the property. We had a client go in. It was a 3-bedroom listed at $1 million, way overpriced for a 3-bedroom. And he said, look, we're not going to use this as a single family home. This is going to be a short term rental. I had a big loft. Let's wall off this, put in an extra bedroom. And they did. And therefore the revenue increased, and it was no additional cost. It was part of the negotiation process. So the new construction deal was, I've seen this time and time again, new construction in, frankly, if you've got a large budget, I definitely, and when I say large budget, I'm saying maybe like 800 plus. You can do it in the smaller, it gets a little bit harder though to negotiate, but $800,000 or more, like for your purchase price budget, you can swing that. If you're swinging that, the new construction is a good play because you don't have to do a lot of renovation or no renovations with new construction, right? And capital expenditure costs are a lot lower. And so new construction is an excellent play for investors who are looking to come into a market and be kind of the best in that market, right? Meaning like you got the nicest property on the block now just because it's new. And so you can come in and add certain things. I love this strategy in markets where there's a lot of old properties. For example, the Poconos, okay? Perfect example of this. There's not a lot of new construction there. Most of the houses there were built in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. 90s are the best. And everything's old and outdated. A lot of people have updated the interiors of their property, but the outside isn't. And so coming in with new construction and having that garage, most of them don't have garages, okay, or even finished garages. And most of them don't have lofts. Most of them don't have certain features because that's just how the properties are. We're built in the 80s and 90s. And so that's an advantage. People can come in and say, look, I'm going to have the garage and I'm going to finish it off. I'm going to turn it a theater room. I'm going to have all these different amenities or these things in this property that nobody else can have because their property doesn't have that, those features. They literally have to build onto their property, even compete at that level. And that's the little things we're looking for. Okay. So I love doing the new construction play. It's very underrated. And honestly, guys, one of my tricks, I'll give you, I'm kind of wrapping up here, but one of my quick tips on how to find these, go into your market of choice, go into Zillow, click 70 plus days, click new construction, boom, sort the results. Super easy. You'll see the properties, see where they're located, start making calls. Now, if they're in a residential neighborhood, now, not all residential neighborhoods are bad depending on the market, but they look like a residential home, it's probably a residential home. But if it's got some uniqueness to it, it's got some curb appeal, right? In a vacation market, so what you're looking for, that's where you come to play. And here's the thing, a lot of these times, these new construction homes that have been over 70 days, the pictures are going to be bad, okay? Meaning like they might just have floor plans or they might just have like one or two shots of it being started. So it's on the market for 70 plus days, 100 plus days. Okay. So look for those types of properties. Look for those types of deals that are just like it's been sitting on the market forever and see what you can do to it. And that kind of falls into the last one, which I want to talk about is finding those properties that have been on the market for, you know, 60 plus days. Why? Figuring that out. What can you do to improve those properties? Everyone's looking for that turnkey, beautiful, ready to go property. And the ones that have been sitting for a while, usually there's something wrong with it. Either they're overpriced, which you can negotiate, and the market's a little soft right now, and you can definitely negotiate, get a lot of credits, or there's something wrong with the property. So if that's the case, well, what's wrong with the property? If it's something simple, maybe you fix it and you got a good deal. The reality is like a lot of people are sleeping on those properties that have been sitting for a while, whether it's new construction or it's overpriced or needs a lot of work or just needs something. Don't sleep on those. Look into those. That's another great way to find opportunities and deals in very popular markets that people are just overstepping. So I've seen that all the time. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Cashflow Positive, and I hope this helps you find deals. Please reach out if you have any questions with this. You can reach out on Instagram or Facebook at Kenny_Bedwell. And as always, check out the episode on YouTube. It's at STR Insights, and I will see you on the next episode.